Father and my God, I come to your presence this evening by the blood of Jesus, confessing my sins of omission and of commission. I receive your forgiveness, a cleansing and a purging of my conscience from dead works, and a guilty conscience to serve you, the living God. Father, as we go into your word, I strip myself of every confidence. I place my confidence in your message to be a faithful steward of a mysteries of a gospel of a kingdom. Lord Jesus, I receive sufficient grace to live out the word. The Holy Spirit, I lean on you for help, for strength. As we go into your word, that you open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Let the word go forth in power, in purity, in clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and love which will bring an edification to the body in the name of Jesus Christ. As your word goes forth, let it cause our wills to become more humble. Let our minds be further enlightened, the revelation that comes from the word, and our emotions be further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As we're also going to be able to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Holy Spirit, help us to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Cause blessings to come to us, the sons of men. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Just thank you, the Holy Spirit, for all you're doing in our midst today. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Please keep on playing something in the background. Thank you. Something very slow, so I don't rush through the message. Thank God for his mercies, like I said earlier on. On Sunday, when Mrs. Aino was being prayed for here, Mommy stood up and gave a prophetic word. And she said that she's come into the place of threshing floor. She said, yeah, she said, that's what she said, something like that. So when she said that, well, I believe we all heard what she said. So this morning, I wasn't planning to share anything. I woke up and I discovered that the Lord Holy Spirit whispered to me and repeated that word. And he said to me, God's threshing floor. So I just woke up, and later on, Pastor now called me and said I should prepare a message, and I trust in God that God will help us and give us a sense of what it means and the importance and the urgency of that word that Mommy gave on Sunday. I didn't know, I'd never seen it that way before, but as I approached what I approached with reverence, because everybody, including myself, must go to the threshing floor. And as I meditated, I also saw, I'm just getting ahead of myself, you know, John the Baptist preached the message about the threshing floor, but he never submitted to the dealings of a threshing floor. So it's not just so much as to share the word, but the important thing is to subject yourself to the word itself. He's the one that said that, when he was talking about the master, he said that, whose winnowing fan in his hand? He preached it. This is because the threshing floor is a place of humility. It's a place in which you have to pride. And I'm getting out of myself. I'm just going to flow with the power of the Holy Spirit, so I don't hinder him, because I believe God wants to do a word in our midst. Because prophetically speaking, as far as we are concerned in this place, by the grace of God and wherever else, that is where we are now. And you see, the threshing floor is the last stopover before the glory. That's why the minister of John the Baptist goes ahead to prepare the way. Once you move from the threshing floor, you cross over to the ministry of Lord Jesus Christ, which came down with glory. Praise God. So, as I tell you, the title of the message is God's threshing floor. And I'm trusting God that by his mercy and grace, you and I will move from the threshing floor into the barn. Praise the Lord. So, I said, God's threshing floor. I'll just keep reading. God kept downloading onto me. I just kept writing down. So, I just want to go straight to the point. God's threshing floor. What is God's threshing floor? God's threshing floor is a place of separation. Let's say it together. God's threshing floor is a place of separation. It's a place where the cocoon of the butterfly is broken so that the butterfly can emerge. So we need to see the threshing floor as a place of blessing, not a place that we draw from. Are you following me? We've all been in a cocoon all these years. If you overstay your place in the cocoon, are you following me, and you don't emerge, or that cocoon is not broken, that person was like those that perished in the wilderness. So it's the will of God for us to move into the threshing floor. Praise the Lord. So I said, it's a place that the cocoon of the butterfly is broken and that the butterfly can emerge, like Pastor has taught us. It's a place to bring forth not just fruit, but good fruit. It is a place not just to bring forth fruit, but good fruit. You see, as a Christian, you can bring forth fruit that is sour. But God is looking for good fruit. Because that was the message of John the Baptist. He said, the axe is laid at the root of a tree, and every tree that does not bring forth good fruit shall be hewn down. It's a place that will bring forth fruit that is worthy of repentance. Not just ordinary fruit. but a place that will bring forth fruit that is worthy of repentance. Praise the Lord. Yes. I also put it there. I said, a place where the wheat is separated from the chaff. It's a place where the wheat is separated from the chaff. The master says something. He said, I have ordained you that you go forth to bear good fruit, and that your fruit may abide. It's the place of abiding fruit. I follow you. Praise the Lord. So it's very important that we have that at the back of our mind. As I was meditating, the Lord spoke to me again and said, it's a place where love is without dissimulation. You see, the fruit we are talking about is the fruit of love. The perfection of the fruit of love. That love must be without dissimulation. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Dissimulation just means sincere. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let's read together. This is Paul's talking. He said, let love be without what? Dissimulation. How about that which is evil? Cleave to that which is good. If Paul says this, what it means is that love can be with dissimulation. That you can walk in love and your love may not be sincere. But God wants our love to be sincere. See, our love, by the mercy and grace of God, is going to be sincere. It's not a message of discouragement. It's a message of hope. The fact that God moves you to the threshing floor tells you that you are not tears. You know why? Because the tears don't make it to the threshing floor. I follow me. So for God to move you from the harvest field to the threshing floor, it means that you have already passed and you are pleasing to God. So let's see it from that point of view. The Bible says that a just man falls seven times, I follow me, and the Lord will what? Raise him up. But it says something, what you must not forget is God has counted that person as a just man. He didn't say he's a wicked man. So please follow me. Let us receive the message from that point of view. Praise the Lord. So as we continue, let's put some definitions behind this. What is wheat? I already mentioned it. Wheat is the perfection or the perfected love of God. Pastor always tell us, say perfecting. Say perfecting. Say perfecting. It's a process. So if you leave here today and you miss it tomorrow, don't be discouraged. You are perfecting. Say that again. I am going to continue perfecting. So you see, God is not going to say, okay, because you miss it tomorrow, or you miss seven times in a day, that you are not. No. It's a process. Just like when you get to the threshing floor, it's a process. It takes time. It's not a 1 minute affair. And God is patient and long-suffering. So as you are there on the threshing floor, those that you meet here, you must extend that long-suffering of God to them because we are at different levels. Praise the Lord. So what am I saying? I say the place of the perfecting of the love of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Just to mention and move on. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Please just stay with the scriptures I mentioned for time. Say, but the fruit of the Spirit... But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, let's say joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, next verse, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that is what wheat means. I said the place of the separation of the wheat from the chaff. And then, what is the chaff? It is the sin nature and its fruit. Let's say the chaff is what? The sin nature and its fruit. So you see, the chaff is not a person. Have that at the back of our mind. The chaff is part of the wheat. It's the residual sin nature in the soul and in the body and the fruits that it brings forth. That's why you always find the wheat with its chaff on the threshing floor. But how many people know that you cannot eat fruit with the chaff? You must remove the chaff so they can have the fruit. It's very important. So when you are removing the chaff, is it because you ate the fruit? No. I found so that the fruit can be presentable. That's why the Bible says that a husbandman is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And he has long patience for it where? On the threshing floor. So God is patient and kind with us once moved from the harvest field to the threshing floor. So we're not talking here about Christians that don't make it to the threshing floor. Those are the tears. They don't go there. You don't take tears to the threshing floor. You burn them. I follow me. So it's a message of encouragement. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? What is the fruit of... what is chaff? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. So I'm trying to explain it so we don't go away with the wrong... I'm trying to bring out the sense of the scriptures. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are what? This. Say adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Anymore? Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So we can all identify with one or two of these, right or wrong. I'm not afraid to put up my hands. God is patient and long-suffering with me. Praise the Lord. So that's where we're talking about today. So I said that is the chaff. Those are these character flaws that we have in our lives. But you see, the fact that you are here today is because God has counted you and I worthy. I follow me and moved you from the harvest field to the threshing floor. And like I said, once you are on the threshing floor, it is the last stopover before you are put in the barn where you inherit the glory. Isn't God merciful? So it's something to rejoice about. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are not here. Say we are not here. Praise the Lord. Very important for us to know that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I said the threshing floor, I already mentioned, I said the threshing floor is for the wheat that have been harvested so that they can bring forth fruit unto perfection. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1, that is what it means. He said, dearly brothers, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all, say all, the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting, say perfecting, holiness in the fear of God. So, he's talking to brethren here. Use the promises of God to perfect holiness, which is something that's character of the love of God. So, that is very important. I mentioned, I said, the chairs don't make it to the threshing floor. It's for Christians. Let me make it very, very simple so we can understand our flow. Look at the life of Jacob. Just came to me. Jacob was a trickster. He was a supplanter. But he came to a threshing floor. But he had one desire in his heart, which I believe I have, in spite of myself and my infirmities. That I was a led there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, the chaff. I follow him. But after the spirit, I follow him. For the Lord will have the Christ Jesus and set me free. So Jacob had infirmities. He had problems. If you had met with Jacob in those days, you are calling him a 419 Christian. But you see, God looks at the heart. Just like God looks at your heart, he looks at my heart. That this guy, even though he has many infirmities, are you following me? He has made up his mind to get the inheritance. I follow, even though he may go about it the wrong way, but you see, God overlooks those things. It was the inheritance that he was after. You see, but Esau is the chair that does not make it to the threshing floor because he despises his birthright. So I believe you are here today. You have not despised your birthright. You may have infirmities. I have infirmities. I'm following me. At times when I do things, I say, Lord, when I woke up this morning and I saw pastor's business, I started going and pray. I said, God, why me, for God's sake? You know what I just did? You know what I just said? Lord, I started confessing my sins again. Not that we should indulge in sin. What I'm saying is, be like Jacob. I want to take those stones, lay on them, and then God will appear. And God says something. He made a vow that he made to Jacob. He's making us to us to live today. God told him when he saw that, he said, I will not leave you. It's in Genesis. If you can find just with that I'm talking, God says, scared us came spontaneously. You see, he said, I will not. Genesis 15, 28, 15. Genesis 20, God swore to him. In spite, you see, what I want you to see today is, in spite of your infirmities and your weaknesses, God loves you. And he desires more that you fulfill your destiny than you yourself want to. And you are sworn because why? You have left the harvest field and you are on the way to the threshing floor. Say, and behold, I am with thee, talking to Jacob. I will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and will bring thee again. Say, I will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So I don't care where you go to. God has said, I will not leave you until I have done that which of what I have spoken to thee. Praise the Lord. I believe that is encouraging. Praise the Lord. Let's wave our hands to the Lord. Let's just worship the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's important that we go into the message without understanding. Praise the Lord. So I said, look, the threshing floor only comes into play in the time of harvest. See, the threshing floor does not come into play unto prominence except in the time of harvest. Nobody does anything on the threshing floor. But when the harvest comes, they will prepare it. And once it's ready, it's on a flat ground. And then that is when they come into prominence. As you all know, we're in that time and the season of the harvest. The season of the Feast of Tabernacles. Not the season of the Feast of Ingathering. Say Ingathering. It is the last feast in the natural Israel. Which also is a type of the perfection where the church will move from Passover to Pentecost, from Pentecost to Tabernacles, and will inherit the glory. Anybody that is moving or is on the threshing floor has left Pentecost and moved towards Tabernacles. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So it's very important. It comes into prominence in the season of the harvest, and we are in the season of the feast of ingathering. That's why the master said in that place, when you have removed the tears and you burn them, say, gather the wheat into my barn. Gather. Say, everybody say, gather. That is the feast of ingathering. That's what he's speaking about. So I said, but there can be no ingathering without separation at the threshing floor. Very important that we know that. God cannot gather the wheat into his barn except there's a separation. Say, there's a separation. All right, praise the Lord. Where do you know what the separation is? I said, the chaff. Where do you know what the chaff is? I follow him. Oh, let me ask a question. How many people want to keep on envying and striving? And how many people want to continue in that? Any good Christians more desire to lose those things? Are you following me? That's what Paul said, oh wretched man that I am. Who would deliver him from this body of sin? Are you following me? But all that, God in his love is going to deal with them. Or let me say, God is going to remove them with the skillful hands of a spiritual surgeon at the threshing floor. Praise the Lord. So, I already mentioned, I said it's the last stopover before the appearing of God. That's why you see John the Baptist ministry. When Isaiah said, I will send my messenger and I will sit as a refiner's fire. I'm just quoting parts of it. He said, if you keep on reading, he said, you purify the sons of Levi. But see, when you read all that, he said, we'll sit as a refiner's fire, purify the sons of Levi. But he said something at the end. He said that they may offer up an offering unto the Lord righteousness. That's the purpose. Don't miss the purpose. So when you lift up holy hands, there is no wrath, like Paul said. So lift up holy hands without doubt or wrath. If you lift up holy hands with wrath and doubt, that means there's still some chaff there. Praise the Lord. But say, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Say, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's what honesty and peace is a key on the threshing floor. So as I put it there, I said that, look, it is not every... Okay, one more point. I said that threshing floors are usually located on the mountain top because of the wind that is there. So not that they don't find them on the low, but mostly they locate them on the mountain top. That's why you only find them, it speaks about Mount Zion. Are you following me? So it is those that have made the desire, have turned northward to the size of the north. Are you following me? Why do they locate threshing floors on the mountain top? Because of the wind there. The high altitude. So that wind blows more over there. So it makes the job easier. We're going to see as I continue why it's always located on mountain top. And that speaks of Mount Zion. And I said, it's not every Christian that will go to the threshing floor or submit it to the dealings on the threshing floor. That's why Paul said, accept the Lord by me. He said, well, we are not going to lay again the foundation of Hebrews chapter 6. They're not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, you know, baptism and faith towards God and all that. He said, this will do if God permits. So it's not every Christian that will make it to the threshing floor. God will not permit some people. You see, because the dealings on the threshing floor is not the same. I follow me. I'm going to use agricultural terms to explain. Open the book of Isaiah chapter 28, verse 23. I'll explain the brand. Put it in the message bag. It makes it very simple. But let me explain. You see, Isaiah began to talk. Part of the things that will help at the threshing floor is that when you get to the threshing floor, when you are at the threshing floor, you discover that there God begins to remove the chaff from the wheat. So Isaiah, you see, we look at the discourse in Isaiah 28. He started talking about his stammering lips, another tongue. Will he speak to these people? He said, yeah, they will not hear. He said, this is the rest, this is the refreshing. He said that who shall they win from the milk? Who shall he said them that are weaned from the breast? So the threshing floor is not a place for babies. So it is in that context that he now said what he said in the, you know, we're talking about Isaiah 28. He said, who shall he teach knowledge? He said, them that are weaned from the breast. You know, he said, here a little there, he talks about praying in tongues and all that. So now, towards that, he's now started talking in the end of that chapter about the different procedures that God uses for him to deal with different harvests from the field. So he started saying, look, there are some things that you can't take to the threshing floor. You will destroy it. So he started discussing different agricultural practices that God used to thresh and to remove unnecessary things from the fruit. So let's see. So he now says, listen to me now. Give me a closest attention. Next verse. Do farmers plow and plow and do nothing but plow? This is not showing everything. Excuse me. Or arrow and harrow and do nothing but arrow? No. Next verse. After they've prepared the ground, don't they plant? Don't they scatter dew and spread cumin? Plant wheat and barley in the fields and raspberries along the borders. Next verse. Talking about the planting. We move to how to harvest. They know exactly what to do and when to do it. Their God is their teacher. Next verse. And at the harvest, right now, the delicate herbs and spices, the dill and the cumin are treated delicately. You can't take the herbs to the threshing floor. You will destroy it. So God does not permit them. Are you following me? That talks about different kinds of Christians at different levels of spiritual growth and development. Next verse. On the other hand, wheat is threshed. So wheat must be threshed. Because the chaff will not go away easily. So wheat must be threshed and milled, but still not endless, not endlessly. You're not going to stay on the threshing floor forever. Are you following me? The farmer knows how to treat each kind of grain. He said, God is the one that gave him that wisdom. That is why you find out when you have good leadership, they know exactly what to do. They know the instructions. Like a doctor will come. You know, when you take quartan, they'll say maybe four for adults, four in the morning, four at night. But they won't give it to a baby. I follow my train of thought. Next verse. He learned it all from God of the angel of Hermes. So you can connect Isaiah 28 from the beginning. What says, you know, shall he teach knowledge? Them that have been weaned from the mix. So it's not even that God will permit to the threshing floor. But God has allowed us, like I said, to move to the threshing floor. And like I said, it is the last, almost remember, it is the last stopover before the glory. Because the next thing is to gather into the bands. Praise the Lord. So what takes place at the threshing floor? I'll just explain this agricultural terms. I'll try and explain the science behind it. At the threshing floor, the stalks of grain are laid on the threshing floor. That speaks about humility. So if we don't lay down the threshing floor, there's an issue with pride. That is, they take those stalks and they put them on the floor. Just like Abraham laid Isaac on the altar. Are you following me? A threshing sledge, second thing, a threshing sledge comprising of hardwood with stones or metal spikes on the bottom was pulled over the stalks over and over by the oxen in order to break the heads of the grain from the stalks. So after they've laid the stalks on the threshing floor, that speaks about you and I. Are you following me? Then the next thing is they now have this contraption attached to the ox. So the ox, that wooden contraption has nails and all kinds of things there with jagged ends, and they attach it to the ox, which speaks about the apostolic ministry and the prophetic ministry. I found the Bible talks about the strength of the ox. So that begins to pull that thing over the heads of corn or wheat. Are you following me? For one main purpose, to break the heads of grain from the stalks. So they keep on going over and over and over and over and over and over. So it is the ox that they use in the natural to break the heads of those things. That's how they do the separation of the wheat from the chaff. Leviticus chapter 26 verse 19 says, I will break your pride. You see, that is the ultimate of the chaff. Like I said again, every wheat must have chaff. Are you following me? It's very important. That's why the Bible says that thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. That is when the instruction, you see, Paul used that analogy to explain giving to apostolic and prophetic ministries. Are you following me? But here again, the manifold wisdom of God, I follow him, say, don't muzzle the ox that treads the corn. That's when the ox, in this sense now, it gives apostolic and prophetic instruction, don't muzzle them. either by when you withdraw your finances or you do things that hinder the word from coming out. Because therein lies your salvation. So that is what goes on the threshing floor. Those things, contraptions, are attached to the ox. And us being to go over it over and over again. Over and over again with those things with sharp irons. I follow him so that they cannot break the heads of corn. What does that speak about? I already quoted 1 Timothy 5 verse 16. So that's an amazing verse. This speaks of applying the word of God that is sharper than a two-edged sword, which is apostolic and prophetic instructions to ourselves. I thought that's what you do. That's how it takes place. There's nobody that will come and be banging something on you. Talk about the Bible says that the word of God is sharp. It says like a two-edged sword. Piercing, dividing, and sunder of soul, spirit, and marrow. I follow him. So that is what happens when you obey spiritual instruction. That means you're on the threshing floor. Then this also has... Okay, we're going to read that. So I said, also, at times when they don't use this contraption, at times they allow the ox to what? Trample over the stalks. Are you following me? So it begins to trample over it. Tread. Because the Bible says that, yeah. He says that that's an animal that treads the corn. So it begins to tread the corn. So when the treading begins to go on, it's not comfortable for the corn. If the corn were to talk, this going for 20 minutes is not easy. You see, the apostle is treading. But you must lay down on the threshing floor until that process is complete so you can make it to the van in Jesus' name. What does that speak of? The Bible says that thy rod and thy staff. No, sorry. Then the third way they do it is this. At times they don't do that on the threshing, but they use sticks to beat those stalks of corn. So that speaks that says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That is what takes place on the threshing floor. They use that some contraption with the ox to tread over it, or the ox itself goes. That's when you see the difference between two is this. You can have the ox pull. Are you following me? And you can have the ox call you and give you a direct instruction. Yeah. You need to understand that. That is, it may call you and say, this, set your house in order. Like Isaiah told Ezekiah, was a direct message. And it can be a general message. But you see, the end point is this, to remove the chaff so I cannot take the wheat into the barn. So the second stage on the threshing floor is known as winnowing. Say winnowing. That is why John the Baptist says something. He says his winnowing fan is in his hand. That speaks about the apostolic and prophetic ministry. Connected what he said in the book of Revelations. When he said that he's the one that holds the seven stars in his hand. So do you see now he becomes a winnowing fan. What did they do in the natural? They would take the heads of corn, the wheat that has been beaten. But you know, the chaff is still there. But they need to separate it. They will not take it with that winnowing fan. They will throw it or fork. They will throw it into the air. And I said earlier on that they usually have threshing floors on top of the mountain because of the wind. So the wind now blows away the lighter material. It blows it away. Then the wheat now falls to the ground. It's humility. What are we saying? That is when tests and trials come to test what you believe. The prince of the power of the air, God is going to allow him. When those things come, it's not time to put down your hands in discouragement. Remember that in that situation, God is looking for fruit. So when they toss the thing up into the air, are you following me? What happens is this. Once the wheat goes, you settle down. Also, you are no longer tossed to. Yet the chaff goes away. The wind blows the chaff away. The wheat comes down because it's heavy. I say, no longer being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I follow him. It's very important for us to understand. So that's what happens at the second thing on the threshing floor. I already explained that. That's how it is. Everybody says, fear not. That's why he told disciples. He said, it is I. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid of what is going on or what you are going to. The master is looking for fruit. I follow me. Praise the Lord. And I already mentioned this. He said, speak of Christ. So let's put the scripture behind. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. Remember what I said again. I keep on repeating as it's turned there. It is the last stopover before the glory. Very, very important. Look at what Peter says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the what? Fairy trial, which is to try you as though something strange, some strange thing happened to you. Next verse. But rejoice, say rejoice. Inasmuch as you are what? Partakers of Christ's sufferings. One of the suffering, Pastor has taught us. He's not suffering sickness and disease. He's suffering self-denial. How follow me? That when his glory shall be revealed. You may be glad also with what? Exceeding joy. So the issue for us here is this. When those trials and tests come, keep your eye on the glory. On the Lord Jesus Christ. And in manifestation of his glory. Praise the Lord. So but that's why the trials come and the tests come. You know James said? He said, my beloved brethren, said, count it all joy. When you fall into that vast temptation, know that I try not faith to faith, work at patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Very important. So I put that, say, why? Why the threshing floor? Why is the message important to us? Because that day when mommy said that thing, I was praying on the podium for me. I know. I just took it, yes. But when God started opening my eyes, I never saw it from that point of view before. So I said, why threshing floor? Now God, I think that God spoke to me. You see, when the threshing floor, said, we have come to God's threshing floor. It's a type of the 6 months between John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. When the angel came, you know, when Elizabeth got pregnant, she was 6 months ahead of Lord Jesus Christ. So we're about 6 months ahead. Not literally, you know, understand types and shadows. They are not exact. What I'm trying to say from that is that we are very close to the glory. Are you following me? That's why John the Baptist goes before the Lord Jesus Christ. So I said, we have come to God's threshing floor. 6 months between the birth of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1 verse 26. Don't you turn there. I said, it's a time of 6 months of myrrh. Before the 6 months of sweet odors. Exodus chapter 2, verse 22. 2. Because I just keep reading as God gave it to me. It's a time of humility. As we lay down at the floor to uncover his feet. In order that we might receive sufficient grace to labor to enter into rest. Ruth chapter 3, verse 2. Ruth 3, 2. Let's just put a scripture behind. Ruth 3, 2. So, and now is not Boaz, this Naomi talking to Ruth. And now is not Boaz of her kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. Behold, say behold. He winnoweth what? Barley what? Tonight in the threshing floor. Amen. Next verse. That is where we are now. Watch thyself. Say, wash thyself thereof. And anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee. And get it down. Say, get it down. That's what our humility to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until I have done eating and drinking. Let's move on. Next verse. I think I will get to verse 7. I shall be when he lie down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet. Papa told us we'll be to learn how the master works. Are you following me? His work. And lay down in humility. And he will tell thee what thou should do. If you don't lay down in humility, you will not know what to do. Next verse. And she said unto her, all that thou seest unto me, I will do. That's what Naomi told. That's what Ruth replied to Naomi. Next verse. And she went down onto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. I follow him. She did not do what Saul did. Next verse. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. That is where we are today. It is a day to keep to the best of our ability. All let me do to practice is better than practice to Jesus. The instructions given at the apostolic and prophetic ministry. It is threshing floor, not where you rush. And Joshua, Bible says that, look, talking about Hebrews chapter 12, say, our God is consuming fire. Don't just misbehave anyhow. Obey specific instructions. Like, see, in tabernacle, they will do this. They will move ahead. They will do this. They will move ahead before they get to the altar of burnt incense, of incense. I before they enter. You don't rush the tabernacle and jump around everywhere. That can be done in the outer court, but not in threshing floor. The threshing floor is the altar of incense. It is the last stopover before you enter into the glory. Next, so, that's what John said. John said in John 3, 12, you don't need to turn there. He said, he must increase and I decrease. I follow him like I said, but he never did that. John did not submit to threshing floor. That would not be a portion in Jesus' name. He thought that it is a place of correction. The chastening of sons. Like I said, you don't take spices to the threshing floor. So what are we saying? Let's look at an example. This was when David was bringing back the ark. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6. Let's put the scripture behind. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6. It says, it's a place of chastening of sons. I follow him. And when they came, let's read together. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Notice it was the oxen that shook the ark. That is, there are going to come times that the oxen is going to shake the ark. Don't touch the ark. Neither should you touch the oxen. Because Bible says, thou touch not my anointed one. I do my don't. The oxen will shake the ark. And when it shakes it, just stand away from it. Don't move near it. Don't touch the oxen. Don't touch the ark. God is able to defend himself. Verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Verse 8. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzziah. And he called the name of his place Perez Uzziah unto this day. You see, we have come into a time that God is going to settle all the controversies concerning Zion.
Amen.
You know why? There are things, there are laid down principles of a Christ life that we, the church, not just us, must obey for the glory to come. He is the pattern son. And Paul, the pattern disciple. It is those same instructions that brought the glory upon the master, operating the seven pillars of wisdom, that the body of Christ will operate for the glory to return.
Amen.
If you go about it another way, we have come to that place that the oxen will shake the cart. Say, two thirds shall be cut off. Lord will have mercy on us. Let's move to verse 13. And it was so that when after David now went back and checked the scriptures. In Amplified, he said that David was offended.
Yeah.
He said he was offended. If we said, how can they bring the ark of God to my house? No, please take it to the house of Obed-Edom. So, like I said the other day, I said, so you want God to destroy Obed-Edom? Do you know what I'm to say? Something created the problem. I now took it to somebody's house. But you see, what is God saying? God is saying that, look, Obed-Edom, he was also a priest, I believe. Yeah, they brought him to the priesthood. But he had an honest heart. So God did not do anything. The same that why when they were bringing it back on the Philistines' car, God did not kill the Philistines. Because they didn't know. But David knew. That was the chastening was serious. That's why I said, it's the place of chastening of sons. He chastens his sons. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 13. Hold on. He said, David was afraid and said, how shall the ark of God, please put it back in 13. I want to just read that scripture because it now showed them the right pattern to bring back the ark. 13, please, let us read it. And it was so that after he now corrected himself, and after I bring it back, he said, and it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. What is that telling us? These are instructions that come from apostolic fathers that have died to the flesh. You cannot, when you sacrifice oxen, is dead, it sheds blood. So they sacrifice oxen. It is things that they learned from the rigorous experiences that God teaches them. Say, through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom. Paul said, look, he said, not no man disturb me, for I bear my body in the marks of Jesus Christ. He learned those things in difficult places. The Bible says that, I'm being a son. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He didn't know it automatically. When they come and give instructions to obey, we must obey. You know why? Because he has cost them their lives. He has cost sacrifices to give it to you. To whom much is given, much will be required. So when you handle the prayer book, know that it's a life that's behind it. It didn't come in one day. There were times that pastor will share that you pray 1 hour, you go through the whole of the scriptures. But now it's been synchronized into just a paper that you can read. That's how they sacrifice oxen. Help me, Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13. Please help me read it. 1 Corinthians 15, 13. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 15, 13. Lord have mercy. This is where He now said that we did not seek God after due order. That's what he says. He says, for because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for we sought him not after the due order. Next verse. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Like you said some more time ago, you see, why would God bring judgment upon Uzziah? He was a priest. He knew. They had trained them all these years. You can't enter the priesthood having been given instructions of how to carry the ark. Summary, what is that telling us? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. I mentioned it. Hebrews chapter, priest on the double. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Help me. It says, this is what is happening here. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Next verse. For when whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Next verse. For if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Next verse. But if ye be well chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Next verse. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. That's what God expects when you are corrected. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Next verse. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, say for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So I go back to what I said in the beginning. At the threshing floor, God removes the wheat from a chaff so we can get the wheat. Praise the Lord. So that is what it means. I said it's a place where God deals with all our confidences in our abilities and resources. You see, you most times when God does something one way, or because of natural talents that you have, you feel you are better than the other person. And then it now becomes difficult for you to acknowledge God in simple things. But I'm saying, in all your ways, acknowledging. The fact that you acknowledge God means that you don't trust in yourself. Like Pastor will say when he says something, he says, I, yet not I, but the grace of God. And that shows you nothing. If God doesn't have mercy on me. But you see, you don't come to that place until things, you go through this process. I following me. Or else you'll be saying, I, like Job. So it is that place that God deals with those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 21, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 21, verse 1. This is where God told David. David told Joab. And said that Joab should go and number the number of armies in Israel. Say, and Satan stood. See that Satan that is behind it. Satan and his nature is the one behind the chaff. Are you following me? So sometimes it's when you see, say Satan has the nature in the soul and in the flesh. Are you following me? Pride and all that stuff. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Next verse. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even unto Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Next verse. And Joab answered the Lord. I said, the Lord make these people 100 times as many more as they be. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord inquire this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? You know why? He already brought back the ark. You know, initially one was bringing it, but now the ark is back, the glory is back. So he no longer have confidence in the mercy of God. I know the most prominent thing of the all on the ark is the mercy of God, the mercy seat. So no longer trusted in the mercy of God. Now the glory has arrived. So I can decide and do whatever I want to do. Because it was after the glory that he committed adultery. He no longer took his spiritual life serious as he ought to. Next verse. Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went through all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And we know the story. Next verse, verse 5, to save time. And Joab gave the sum of the number of people unto David, and they of Israel were 1,000, blah, 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 blah. Let's redeem the time. So this is what am I saying? I said, is when God, is that thing, pride, God breaks that thing at the threshing floor. Acts chapter 23, verse 10. That's what Paul said. He said, in the third day, we loosed our tactics when we saw that any hope of being saved had been taken away. It so happens that I was the third day, prophetically speaking, in that third day. Tackling that Pastor Papara shared some time ago are those ropes that they used to hoist the sail. So that when they put it in a particular direction, are you following me? The wind will blow and then the ship will move in the right direction. But once you remove the tacklings, then there's nothing to control the sail. In fact, it can be led anywhere. Once you remove those tacklings, that means you have actually surrendered your life to God. I follow me. Because you are no more in control. It's when, you know, when the thing moves this way, I want to go this way, you pull it, then the thing will go this way. You pull it, then the thing will go this way. Have I told Peter, I said, when you are young, you went whithersoever you went. But when you are old, another will guide you and take you where you don't want to go. Isaiah 33, verse 20. Look, Papa Raph quoted this cross some years ago. He came to us also praying. Say, look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, no more agitation. The signature has been removed. A tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. That talks about the pillars that shall no more go out. Now shall any of the cords thereof be broken. Next verse. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of what? Broad rivers and streams. You know what I'm talking about? The spirit of measure. Now Ezekiel chapter 47. When shall go no galley with oars, none shall gallant ships pass thereby. There are no, you know, there's no more ministry of gra-gra. All this you've seen, this day. Next verse. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will do what? He will save us. Praise the Lord. So let's move on because of time. I said again that it is the place where we totally trust in God's messenger. I already mentioned that. So I also put it here. I said it is the place where we raise up an altar unto the Lord. I said, it is the place that we raise up an altar unto the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 18. That same story, just to go straight to the point. It was when, after the India was destroyed, they got to the threshing floor of Onan. The first threshing floor was Nacon's threshing floor. It so happened that David had to go to those two threshing floors in his life. I believe it was three. The first one would have taken the ark, that the oxen tumbled. But by the time he had learned what he had to learn, I'm sure they took that same route and passed through Nacon's threshing floor, but nothing happened because they had kept everything after due order. So in this place, God now told Gad, now told, after he numbered the people and the angel was destroying people to save time, God now told him for everything to stop. He said, rear up an altar at the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. And you know, of course, he raised up the altar there. And God said, this place is the place that will raise the temple site. So I said, it is the place that God raised up an altar unto himself. It's a place that will be after, you see, the altar must be there before the temple. Now, I see that every morning, good morning, Jesus, is very important. The altar must be there before the temple can come. Temple. Because that was where, I'll read scripture, so far, I say, I don't want to get, I have to take it a step at a time. He read up the altar. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. It was that place that David read up the altar that someone built the temple. So the altar must be in place before the temple can come. What does it say? Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David in his, what is it? In his, David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite. So the altar comes first before the temple. Now follow me. And it so happens that the place of called Mount Moriah, where Abraham laid his son on the altar, and where Jesus was crucified. Are you following me? So that is the place. Though the altar must be in place before the temple can come. The fathers laid the altar, the sons come and build the temple. Without the altar, there can be no temple. A place where the fathers have laid down their lives on the altar, that the children can build. Abraham and Isaac. It is a place of the ratifying of the promise. A place of the oath where God swears. That I swear by myself. But notice when he swore, he wasn't swearing because of what the son did. He was swearing because of what Abraham did. It's very important. Even though it was Isaac that was laid on the altar, God did not say, I swear because of Isaac. Because Abraham was the most precious thing. That was the key was to him. I said, your son, your only son, whom thou lovest. So the sacrifice really was Abraham's sacrifice. I found about to say, all he had believed God for all his life, all he had waited for, Ishmael had been thrown away, Lot had gone away. The only thing, the only hope of getting the promise, God says, go and offer it them. Let me just put there. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15, just to support it. Genesis 22, verse 15. I see that's where the covenant. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. I just want to see a point there. Help me, Holy Spirit, because of time. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto us Isaac out of heaven, the second time. Next verse. And said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast thou withered thy son, thy only son. Next verse. That in blessing I will bless you. Multiply you. That's what I want to see. God swore to Abraham. But in swearing to Abraham, he secured the blessing to Isaac. That was picked up in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 verse 13. Where Paul was talking. Hebrews 6 13. It says that, for whom, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Next verse. Says, saying, surely blessed I will bless thee, and multiplied I will multiply thee. Next verse. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Next verse. For men verily swear by the greater, and the oath for confirmation is to them at the end of all strife. Which we are talking about the threshing floor of Amandra. When God willing more abundantly show unto the ears of promise. After he swore to Abraham, we are the ears of promise under Abraham. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. Next verse says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, when I have a strong consolation, when I have fled for you, lay hold upon the hope I set for, which hope, next verse, whereof as an anchor which is sure and steadfast, that entered within the veil, whether a foreign force enter, even Jesus Christ. So that is where he swore. I sealed the covenant. The place where we obtain the glory, that's the last point. Amen. That is the place where we get the glory. Once you remove the chaff from the wheat, you are destined from the glory. That's when it gathers into the barn. I'll just mention 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, when you are called us to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the scripture I want us to read, we know 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, when you are called us to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same glory is clear. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. We start reading. Say, be glad. Let's read. Be glad. Be glad then, you children of Zion. And rejoice in the Lord your God. For he had given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and latter rain in the first month. Next verse. Let's keep reading. And where the threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Next verse. Next verse. And I will restore to you the year the locust had eaten, the cacao and the caterpillar, and the power of my great army which I sent among you. Next verse. And shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that I dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Next verse. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Where? At the threshing floor. Next verse. Next verse. And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Next verse. Next verse. And also upon the servants, upon the handmaidens, in those days I will pour out my spirit. We know that. So what I want us to see here is this. I said, it's the place that we get the glory. You see, once God removes the chaff, after you have removed the sin nature from the wheat, the chaff from the wheat, the next thing is, and I said, the floor shall be full of wheat. You see, Bible says that, he said that there came a time in the life of David that when people started joining him, he said, like the multitude of the Lord. He said, the floor shall be full of wheat. That means many people are going to pass. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Now, how do we move from this threshing floor to the master's barn? It's very important. Now, this is the how we've been taught already. How do we move from the threshing floor to the barn? Number one, by submitting to the ministry of John the Baptist. Very important. By submitting to the ministry of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 7 verse 29. All those that did not submit to the ministry of John the Baptist, they never entered the glory. Amen. They didn't. Luke chapter 7 verse 29. The master was talking. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. Next verse. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Next verse. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall you liken the men of this generation? That is oriented to Sumi. So by submitting to the ministry of John, that is the apostolic and prophetic teaching that prepares the way. And you notice that even under John, that's when John and I think Peter or James, when they saw this is the man, he just moved. Because they were under that ministry. The second point I have is which is very simple. Again, I just take some points. I have some points of wisdom. Say you must daily choose the fear of God, honesty and humility. Why? Because on the threshing floor, humility is critical. You lay on the floor to be threshed. Very important. Psalm 15, verse 2 says, who shall ascend to the love of the Lord? You shall bring the Lord. They that speak the truth in their heart always. It's very easy. He says, speak the truth in your heart. That is, tell God, this is envy. Be honest. Be sincere. Call a spade a spade. Then mercy will flow to help. And then the third point, we need to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to pray with travail in order to perfect the love of God. What does that mean? You see, it takes apostolic strength and power. But I'll talk about the strength of the ox to pray consistently with travail. No travail, you can't enter. My little children of whom I travel in bath again until Christ be formed in you. Are you following me? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. In Amplified. Proverbs 14, 4 in Amplified. Proverbs 14, 4 in Amplified. It says, where no oxen are, the grain crib is what? Empty. But much increase of crops comes by the strength of the ox. The ox here speaks about the apostolic anointing. That the ministry of the fathers, the covering that they provide, adds to what you are doing. So you can have that strength to push through to the barn. The fourth point I have is the same thing, just using things to pray. The diligent practice of washing of feet at least four times daily, at every opportunity and in every temptation. Second Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. Going back to after David had learned what to do. So every six paces they sacrifice. Pastor has still taught, when you pray at least four times daily, and in every temptation, and also at every opportunity. It says, and it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen. So that instruction that they gave you from a life laid down, you take it. And you do it. I follow him. And then you move again. That's how you keep on doing. So that is where we are today. And in summary, God has taken us from the field of the harvest. I want to repeat it, very important. It's an encouraging message. Tears don't make it to the threshing floor. It is wheat that make it to the threshing floor. And what God is looking for is good fruit. Praise the Lord.
Let's give all another super clap offering. Amen. That is a very, very nice word. The threshing floor of Onan and the threshing floor of the Jebusite. And that's where we are now prophetically. And it's in that place the wheat is separated from the chaff. And I took a few notes as Pastor Dewey was speaking, and I wrote three things here. Separation, altar, temple. First of all, God has to separate the chaff from the wheat. And like he said, the wheat is us, but there's still chaff. There's still the sin nature and things inside us. And God takes us through different processes, temptations, trials, allows things to come. We were sharing with somebody recently, and the person was telling us, he says, affliction breaks pride. Nothing else will break your pride. Nothing else. Preaching won't do it. Talking will not do it. Affliction. Affliction makes you aware that you need God. And then it also makes you know that you are not as great as you thought you were. You often think, that happened to those kind of Christians. That can never happen to me. But when it happens to you, So it means that you go and seek God. And then when you seek God with an attitude of humility, you now get grace. and mercy to overcome the affliction. But if the affliction didn't come, that humility will not come. Affliction, God allows it to come to remove our pride. And Pastor Dre spoke tangentially about Job. You know, Job was a great man. How many people know that? The Bible himself said, so God said, he said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, there is none like him. And God was not lying. There is none like him in all the earth. You know, good, upright, eschew it, but Job had pride. He had spiritual pride. And God had to use that thing to bring it out. Remember, in one of the verses in Job, there are many, but in one of the verses, Job said, when I used to be, you couldn't even talk to my dogs. Remember, Pastor? That's how he was. Until God, when he went through what he went through, you know, they said, oh, maybe you committed a sin. He didn't commit a moral sin. Job did not commit any moral sin. Job's problem was not a sin of commission of a moral thing. It was sins of omission or spiritual law that came by spiritual pride because he was depending on his good works. He thought, oh, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. Of course, God has to. But those doing physical things, however good they are, will not substitute for spiritual law. And that's why when God appeared to him and said, you know, who is this who darkens my counsel, whose words are without knowledge? Then he began to say, where were you when I made the heavens and the earth? And he began to tell him all the things. Then the Bible says, and Job said, I repented. You have to understand it. You know, so the threshing floor is the place of separation where the chaff inside us, the pride, all the funny things, you know, the wrong things, God allows the tribulation of the oxen treading on it and all of the other things that Pastor Joe explained, you know, to remove it. Number two, the threshing floor is a place where you build the altar. Altar, of course, stands for the place of prayer. And it's all interwoven. As God is dealing with your pride and all of that, the separation is taking place. It is going back to God in prayer, you know, and building an altar that will help you to overcome those afflictions that have been allowed to come so as to remove the chaff from you. Then the third thing is the temple. I thought that was a very significant point. The temple can only be built after an altar has been built. We preached a message some years ago, and I also think this man wrote an article, and it was very, very beautiful. I think it was George Warnock. You know, one of the great prophetic fathers. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. You know, and I think I preached it here in church, and I called it From the Tent, From the Tabernacle to the Temple. See, a tabernacle in the olden, you know, in ancient Israel, you know, the tabernacle was a tent, really, that was put on the desert floor. It was a mobile thing, you know. It was like Lego or Meccano. They had all kinds of screws. So anytime they wanted to move camp, the priests would come, they would dismantle it, they would pack everything together, and they would move to the next place. It was not a permanent dwelling place. Two significant things about the tabernacle or the tent was, one, it had no foundation. Number two, the materials of which it was made were, you know, animal skins and things like that. It would not be able to withstand any type of real pressure. The materials were, wood, you know, and animal skins and all that. It was by design to be temporary. God allowed them to have that tabernacle, you know, so that, you know, it would take them through the wilderness. It was when they got into the promised land later on that God would have them to have a temple. Now, spiritually, what does that say to us? When we first start as Christians, all of us are tabernacles. No foundation. Foundation, you're born again, but what I mean is that no revelation knowledge. Because revelation is the rock, you know, and then the sin nature and the flesh is still susceptible to the winds and all of those things and the elements. However, as you build the altar and you begin to pray in that place, you now get a foundation. When you now get a foundation, the divine nature begins to envelop your soul, your body, and your circumstances and make you into a rock. And then your body now and your soul now become not a temple, not a tabernacle, rather, now become a temple, a place of permanent dwelling. And that's where the Spirit of God can come upon you without measure and abide on a permanent basis. But all of these processes take place at the threshing floor. The separation takes place at the altar, at the threshing floor. You build the altar at the threshing floor, and it's from the altar that you build that you now move to the temple. A thought came to me some weeks ago, and it really ties on with this. You know, if you look at the ministry of David, and we've looked at it tonight, you know, you find that when David became king, he now said, we don't have the ark. So they said, you go and bring the ark. And that's where they brought it. They first of all brought it on the Philistines' cart, tried to do it man's way, and God had to kill Uzzah. Then he had to go and seek God. Then do it according to due order, get the priests, the Levites, to carry it on their shoulders, four of them for balance, you know, every six spaces. Then they finally brought the ark to not a temple, to a tent. It was the ark, it had the glory, but it was still a tent, it was still a temporary place in David's backyard. There was no outer court, there was no furniture there, all he just had was the ark. And God allowed that for years. Then later on, David had in his heart, how can I be living in a nice house like this and the ark is under a tent? He said, I will not give sleep unto my eyes until I find a tabernacle for the mighty God of Jacob. So he now had in his heart that he would build a temple. Watch this. It was not God who asked David to build the temple. But when David had the right attitude and heart to build, God was very impressed. And that's why God said the Christ will come through it. But watch this. The plans for the temple didn't come from David. They came from God. The Bible says all the things was given to him by the Spirit. And it was that plan that was now given to Solomon, that Solomon now used to finally build the temple. When they took the ark, watch this. When they brought the ark into the tabernacle of David, initially, there was glory and God blessed them. But when Solomon finished the temple, and then they now brought the ark into the temple, the Bible says when the priest began to praise God as one, he says, and the glory of God. You don't see that glory in the tabernacle of David. You see it. When they had finished the temple, they carried the ark and then they put it into the Holy of Holies. Watch this. Then they drew out the staves. You know why? It's going to be there permanently. When we move and we transit from being a tabernacle to becoming a temple, then the glory of God will come upon us permanently. You will not have the Spirit without measure, like Jesus. The Bible says, and the Spirit came upon him and remained. And then all the great manifestations we're talking about will start to come. So, thank God for the threshing floor experience. Everybody say, thank God for the threshing floor experience. Thank God for the separation. Thank God for the altar. And thank God for the temple. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just talk to God tonight. And just... all of us are at different stages. Some of us are at the separation stage. Some of us... the separation is forcing us... I don't like to use the word force, but it's leading us, I should use, you know, to build an altar. Like we say, you know, Pastor Jay mentioned this about the Good Morning Jesus. You know, start your prayer life now has become consistent, or is becoming consistent. You're building an altar. And it's a permanent thing. It is that altar that will now, as you practice and you use that altar of prayer, it will now transform you into a temple. And with that temple, you can now inherit the Spirit without measure, and the glory of God will come in Jesus' name. Let's talk to God. Just raise your hand. Put the other hand to your heart. This is just a sign of sincerity. The one that's lifted or said, I will lift up my eyes unto the Lord, from whence cometh my help. See, when you look at these scriptures and you consider all of these great and wonderful things, like the Apostle Peter said, he said, exceeding great and precious promises. You know, the magnitude of what God is doing and has revealed that he's going to do will blow the human mind. There's only one way, there's only one place for help, heaven. I can't do it by myself. You know, this is what these things push you to realize. They make you say, I need the grace of God. I need the mercy of God. You know, people talk about the grace and mercy of God just to make people think that they are humble. But when you say the grace and mercy of God, and you know after you've been through separation and you've been to affliction, you're not talking about the grace and mercy of God glibly, you know, just to make people feel we are humble. You know you really need it. Because you've gone through the threshing floor. Hallelujah. 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 I have made you too small in my eyes,
oh Lord.
Please
forgive me. And I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me.
But now, hallelujah.
Oh Lord, but now, oh Lord,
I see my wrong.
I see my wrong.
Heal my heart
and
show yourself strong. From the beginning,
I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord,
please
forgive me,
and I have believed in a lie.
And I have believed in a lie
that you were unable to help.
Magnified.
Hallelujah. Be magnified.
Magnified.
Say, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us tonight, revealing to us that we are at the threshing floor, a place where you are separating the chaff in our lives from the fruit of the wheat in our lives. A place where we are learning to build the altar. And a place where we're being transformed from being a tent that carries your spirit occasionally to a temple that will carry the power of your spirit without measure permanently. Oh God, our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Come and have mercy on us. Give us fresh mercy. Give us fresh grace. Help us, Lord, to see what you're doing. As the wind blows, to blow out the chaff from our lives, help us not to be offended. Help us to recognize that as sons, you're chastening us so that we may be partakers of your holiness. Oh Lord, help us, help us, help us to understand what we're going through. The separation, the building of the altar, and the building of the temple. Help us, help us, help us, Lord, to cooperate with you so that this great work that you're doing on the inside will be finished and will show up on the outside for all men to see and behold your glory through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name. We say, in Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us.